Anything else on E1's heart? Have a rather odd subject this morning, but we're going to, with the Lord's help, we're going to look at this a little bit. How many people went out this week and bought a Powerball ticket? Don't raise your hand. You know, we see these things, we see them, you know, there's so much exposure, I guess, worldly exposure that we see to things that goes on every day. And I guess my topic this morning, if it would be anything, it would be gambling. That's something I've never entered into this arena before, but you think about this, and as I was thinking about this, you look in the Bible, and you don't find anything in there that says thou shalt not gamble. You don't find one place in there which says that. Yet we I guess in our church covenant, there's nothing. In our 18 articles of faith, there's nothing. Yet we stand against these things, and maybe to some kind of confusion that we do it. You know why? You know, it's not in the Bible. It doesn't say for us to not gamble and all these different things. And as I was looking and trying to find and think about these things, that I believe it basically comes down to stewardship. It boils down to stewardship of what God has blessed us with. Now you think about gambling, and I guess a definition of that would be to stake or risk money or anything of value on the outcome of something involving chance. Something that involves chance. Now we do things every day that involve chance. So when we walk across the road, we all got in our vehicles, we drove to church this morning, we took a chance that it was going to be all right, you know, that we was going to make it here safe and everything was going to be fine. We take chances like that. But this chance that it's dealing with here, and it seems to go along with, I guess, maybe thoughts from last week also, having to deal with money and our stewardship and a general overview of what people perceive Christians to be. What do people that are not Christians look at somebody that claims to be a Christian, and they perceive them to be in certain ways or in certain actions or in certain things? Like I said, now it's not in the Bible that says thou shalt not gamble, and it's not in our church covenant, and it's not in our 18 articles of faith. But why would it be such a bad thing? And it's basically stewardship. I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Y'all pray for me this morning. Taking this, some of the medicine stuff. Starting in the first verse, it says, "And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I'm going to stop my reading here for the moment anyway. And look at this first verse. It tells us here that he had wasted his goods. Now, I've spoke on stewardship times in the past, and we know a steward is someone that basically is looking after what somebody else is giving you. You and I this morning are stewards for God and what He has blessed us with. If He's provided us a nice home and, you know, money and everything that we have, everything that we have in our possession is of God. And God has blessed us with it. God has gave that to us. If we're a millionaire this morning, if you're sitting here and you're a millionaire, God has given it to you. It's not something that you've done. We live in a time in a world in a country that you know, I was raised out on a farm, out of the country. And I guess one of the things that was instilled in me at an early age was that if I wanted to eat, then I was going to have to work. If I was ever to have anything in my life, then I was going to have to work for it, that it wasn't going to be given to me. We live in a world today that expects, unfortunately, far too much to be given to us. We expect handouts and things given to us right and left. And this steward here, he says, I cannot dig to beg, I'm ashamed. Basically, he says, I'm too lazy to work, and I don't want to ask anybody for it. We have a lot of that in our country today, in our world. You think about gambling and what that entails. You think about, I don't know the exact amount that, but it was a big amount. It was like 500 something million dollars, you know, that after it's all said and done, you know, time, taxes, and everything else, you know, you get probably a couple $300 million. Money that was earned by not having to work for it, was it? There was a piece on, and I don't know if any of you saw this, and I didn't see much of it, it just caught my attention, about the destruction of the people's lives that had won all these large amounts of money. I don't know if anybody else saw this or not. But the one that I did see was, there was one man that won, I don't know, we'll just say several million dollars. And basically he had so much money, and you know, he went out and bought this and did this, and he lost his wife. He lost his daughter because he's just handing her out money, and she got on drugs and she overdosed and killed herself. So many things. And one of the things that it come back to saying was, had I known that all this money was going to bring this much destruction upon our lives and our family, we'd have thrown the piece of paper in the trash and never collected. The Lord set things into place, and from the very beginning, we find over in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, and I believe it's the 19th verse here, where it tells, after that man had sinned, he was put out of the garden. Up until the time before that, God provided him everything. God provided every want and need that they had there in the garden. They didn't have to work for anything. They didn't have to do anything. But in this 19th verse, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." I believe this having reference to, you got to work. You're to work and you're to earn a living and you're if you want to have things. And like I said, we live in a world today that there are a lot of good programs out there that help a lot of people that can't help themselves. And I'm not saying a thing in the world about that this morning. I'm thankful that we live in a country that has enough money to be able to do that. But there's a lot of circumstances and situations that I don't agree with, and I'm not the judge of, as far as being able to sit at home and just as healthy as I am and draw money and do this and do that. I don't believe it's right in the Lord's eyes. I don't believe that when it comes to you and I today, when if the Lord blesses us with certain things, and I believe He has, that we take and we squander these things on chance, that the Lord blesses that. We think about, I guess, it's hard to really just to go and just to pin down, in my opinion. Somebody else may have different thoughts on this. You think about over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the group of people that was just basically sitting there and they were waiting for the world's end. They were waiting for their time to come. Apostle Paul was talking about these people, and you know, it says in the 10th verse, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." I guess there's one of the things in here about, you can see very plainly the way I feel, that I believe a man's supposed to work. I know the Bible teaches that a man's the head of the home and he's to be a provider for the house. But we live in a world today that all these things, you think what life, going and buying a lottery ticket cast on hope for this world. There's a lot of people I've seen so many people that go in and buy a lottery ticket and they didn't look like they had enough money to eat with. They put all their hope on this piece of paper that they can win a bunch of money. Never, ever, ever with the consideration of God, turning to God for help that they need. The focus that money can do a lot of things for you, you know, it can, but it never has bought a single person happiness. And most importantly, it has never, ever, ever, ever bought a single soul. Never bought a single soul. There's never a person entered into the gates of heaven because that was rich, is it? Not a single person. I can still remember when I was little, I was sick to the Lord. let nothing when we're seeking the Lord that it's all His. Got to be willing to give up everything and even your very own life for the Lord would save your soul. Yet we live in a country where they put their hope in money, in a game of chance. You can't say, I got to thinking about this, enter into the places where sell these things. I guess maybe at one time it would have been pretty separated, but now any convenience store that you walk into sells. Everyone that I know that I deliver packages to, they sell it. You think about what separates us. Well, we put our faith and our trust in the Lord. We don't turn to things like that if times get hard. You know, there's people in our churches that they may need help. And if they do, it's the church's responsibility to help them. I believe that a church, when somebody's in need, should take up an offering and help them. I don't believe you turn to false hope. I believe that charity comes from the church and it kills through the church. I believe this church that the Lord instituted is a great institution. We find in many different places in here, you think about, one of these are the things I think about when I think about those Roman soldiers that cast lots for the clothes of Jesus when he was on the cross. I guess you think about people rolling dice in the Old Testament. They had the stones and urine and thumbing. And basically with those things, they was depending upon God through these to give them the direction or what to do or how to do it. These stones in the Old Testament that people would cast lots and God would give them instruction and direction. He gave the people of Israel, he allotted all their land to them through this way, by lot. The Lord directed them in what they were supposed to do. But that was one thing that there is about it, that it came from the Lord's direction. It wasn't done by chance. It wasn't done by happenstance. It was done, you think about casting lots over in the first chapter of the book of Acts. These men, they cast lots after Judas was gone and to find another apostle. They cast lots. Basically, they cast votes. They made votes in, as to the determining the direction, and they got their direction from God. God directed them. Over in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we read of a man and his talents. Now, his talents was money. I've heard the thing saying that, well, if we're to be good stewards of our money, is it not gambling if we take it to a bank or we take it and we put it in a wallet? Is it not gambling to do these things? Well, actually, I don't think it's viewed that way. In this 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find here, we'll just start reading in the 14th verse. It says, For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who was called his own servants and delivered unto him them goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, I've heard this preached 2 different ways, his talents, his abilities, of things that they could do, and I've heard it, money. You look into the Greek concordance, it has reference to money. A talent is being money. So he gave them money, and they were supposed to be good stewards of this money. Then he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. And he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. For after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Now this one steward that had been entrusted with this talent, this money that was given to him, he dug a hole and he buried it. He wasn't going to lose it, but he wasn't going to gain anyway. Either, was he? I believe the Lord expects us to be productive with His money that He gives us. I believe He expects us to use it in the right way. I believe He expects us, and I believe He will bless us when we do. We can go on down in this reading. We can find where in the 24th verse it says he came to this man with the 1 talent and said, Lord, I knew that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not straw. I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming would I have received mine own with usury. Basically, he said you should have took it to the bank where it, and put it in there where it at least drawed interest. These things that we don't need to rely on chance. We don't need to rely on a lottery ticket to get by. And we need to be a people that shows the world that our hope and our trust is in something greater, far greater than money. I believe we're expected to use money in the right way. Spend it in the right way, and the Lord will bless it. The Bible tells us let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. There's a peace in our hearts and our minds, knowing that when we do what God wants us to, when we're the stewards that we're supposed to be. That God is going to look down and He's going to bless us. He's going to look down and He's going to bless it. That you're not wasting what God has blessed you with. That you are the steward that He would have you to be. I don't think in both circumstances, it showed that you ain't supposed to dig a hole for it. Either. You're supposed to use it for the Lord, to give honor to the Lord. Like I said, I pray that something I said will be of some help today. I know this was an odd sermon, but that's what I felt the Lord had on my heart. Be a word on anyone's heart. As mentioned this morning in Sunday school, you know, about the church being one mind and one accord. That our actions and our thoughts and our ways, they coincide. I pray I conveyed enough to this morning to consider what I said as being right. That your thoughts will be on that same way. No, the Bible doesn't tell you not to him, but it does tell you to be a good steward. Be a good steward of what God has blessed you with. All hearts and minds free, all standing will be spirit. You know, this gambling stuff is addictive. People get hooked on it. They get hooked on it just like they do drugs. It's an addiction. I read a little bit about it. It causes a high within them. It stirs up chemicals in the brain, and it's just like people that use drugs. And that can go with anything. That's the reason moderation is a good thing. That we stay even keel on whatever. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You can get addicted to about anything. So I will mention tonight, we have a visiting preacher coming, Brother Tim Austin from the Fayette Missionary Baptist Church. And also, there's going to be rehearsal for the Christmas program tonight after the service. All hearts and minds free. Brother Terry Parker, would you dismiss us?
Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for bringing us this way today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you've given us. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins, our shortcomings. We'd ask you, Lord, to let this message come into our hearts so we might keep it, meditate upon it this week. We'd ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that was made today, Lord, for the sick, above all, for the lost. We ask you, Lord, to be with us, to give us guidance and strength throughout this week. These favors we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.